This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You're listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
I have this little line. The judge says he was surprised the defense wasn't making more objections to Daniel's testimony. Okay, I don't know if that's helpful or what. I mean, I am losing my mind here. So we have a much superior mind. Judge Weinberg just walked in. Judge, so great to see you.
Good to see you, Greg.
Your overall reaction to what is happening to Trump right now in that courtroom under Judge Mershon and the DA's office?
Let's begin at the beginning. I don't think this case ever should have been brought. I think it was prosecutorial discretion on the part of Bragg, the district attorney. There is no case here. There's no jurisdiction on the part of the district attorney of New York County to prosecute anything to do with the campaign finance law. The Federal Elections Commission decided not to get involved in this, the U.S. Department of Justice, the U.S. Attorneys for Southern District, Bragg's predecessor, Cy Vance, had nothing to do with this case, wouldn't go forward with it. Bragg himself wouldn't go forward with it, only when he was humiliated in a book written by Mark Pomerantz and embarrassed that he decided to do this case. So that's number one. So number two, they bring in this fellow Colangelo from the United States Department of Justice. I believe he had one of the top jobs in the United States Department of Justice, probably like number three job there. You don't go from being number three in the United States Department of Justice to becoming a local special counsel or special assistant district attorney in a local DA's office. It's inconceivable. So it shows there were conversations between Bragg and the Justice Department on this, and certainly between Bragg and Colangelo. And Colangelo has taken a leading role in this case. I think the judge himself should have recused himself. There's an actual conflict of interest under the guidelines that New York State judges have to follow. And if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, say there's no actual conflict, even though his daughter was making a fortune doing this stuff and he made political contributions to the Democrats, at least there's the appearance of impropriety, and he should have recused himself. If this case was before me in state Supreme Court and one of my children was involved the way his child was involved, and I had given money to Trump's political opponents, I would accuse myself on my own motion. So that's for background.
Yeah.
On the trial itself, there have been numerous rulings here, one of which is I would have granted a motion to dismiss right away. If not a motion to dismiss, I certainly would have changed the venue, given a change of venue. 85% of the people in Manhattan are Democrats. They voted overwhelmingly, 85% for Biden. A lot of those folks hate Trump. How's he supposed to get a fair trial in Manhattan? He can't. So he should have granted venue. Then rulings on evidence. He's allowing stuff in, this judge, he's allowing stuff in that he shouldn't be allowing in. The standard, the test for judges is the probative value versus prejudicial impact. And here, clearly, there's no probative value on a lot of stuff. It's just inflammatory to get the judge, by making this ruling, he's getting the jury on the side of the prosecution by allowing all this extraneous stuff in. There's no charge of conspiracy here. So far, all the evidence has been talking about conspiracy, but there is no indictment on conspiracy.
So
the whole thing to me is mind-boggling. And one more point. And
yeah, please.
And he's also denying Trump the ability to cross-examine uncertain facts. So he's allowing the prosecution to get stuff in, and he's not going to allow the defense to put it in. And it puts Trump in a box. Does he take the stand or not take the stand? The general rule is defense counsel don't want their clients to take the stand. In this case, Trump wants to take the stand. But if they're going to allow in all these collateral prejudicial acts, allegedly, about Trump, again, it will inflame the jury. So Trump is in a box. Oh, I guess there's one more thing I want to say.
Yeah.
The collective impact of all of these trials. You have trials in Georgia, you have trials in federal court in Florida, trial in the District of Columbia. You had this Tish James civil case. Now this case. Collectively, how is the defendant supposed to defend himself properly? And the answer is, you can't. So to me, it's a denial of due process by doing this. Okay.
Well, there it is. So categorical and authoritative, knowledgeable, Judge Weinberg. Nobody knows better than you, but here we are. It's actually happening, and I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Here we go. Do you know Judge Merchan personally?
Yes.
Really?
And not well, but I've been in meetings with him amongst in the judges' lunches. I've been in judicial conferences. Mm-hmm. With him. I also knew Judge Arthur Ngoron.
Well, let's start with
the civil case.
Merchan. I mean, did you have any indication that he was ultra political or not fair or anything like that?
No. I can't say that at all. The only thing I know about the way he's been ruling now is I'm very troubled by the way he's conducted himself in this case.
Now, can you, let's put, and we're all Americans are susceptible to this. If you listen to mainstream media, if you listen to Joe Biden, and you believe these people, the media, Joe Biden, you could convince yourself, if you believe those people, that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, right? Because they say it all the time. I mean, that is the message from the mainstream media and Joe Biden. I mean, the president of the United States is saying that he is a threat to democracy and he would end America. With that in the air, I can kind of imagine a scenario where a judge would think, it is my duty to stop the threat to democracy, and I will do whatever it takes to stop this. And he thinks he's being he might even have convinced himself that he's some sort of a patriot.
That's not the judge's role. The judge's role is to have a fair trial.
Well, hold on a second. I know. Yes, totally. Look, I am not defending this. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell's going on. Because, look, 24/7, people are lying about Trump all the time. Judge is a human being. And the judge, I believe, was born in Colombia. And let's face it, Donald Trump has been very tough on illegal immigration. His stance on immigration has been misrepresented as if he's like tough on foreigners, as if he's tough on people who were born in other countries. No, he's tough on illegal immigration. Legal immigration, he loves legal immigration. So, you know, that this guy thinks he's a champion of, look, something obviously is going on in his head. You knew him as a fair guy, and this stuff is not fair.
I'm very troubled by the way this whole situation has been conducted. And I say this, you know, when I'm on the Katz and Cosby show every night and I'm introduced as the Common Sense Democrat, I'm a centrist Democrat. I'm not pro-Trump. I'm not anti-Trump. I'm not pro-Biden or anti-Biden. I try to just look at the issues as they come down and try to give a reasonable approach to this. I think that this prosecution never should have taken place, and I think it's jamming Trump up. And I just saw a statistic. Some poll said that some 4% of the folks who would otherwise vote for Trump will not vote for him in the election. And that could be the swing in the election. And so, I think that's awful.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They're cheating. They're cheating. Hey, can I just ask you very simply? Let's take a little bit of a step back. Donald Trump was not in the Trump Organization, and he had his own checking account, and a check was written from his own checking account to his personal attorney. Michael Cohen was not a lawyer for the Trump Organization. He was, publicly, he described himself as, and he wasn't an employee of Trump, as a personal attorney. I don't understand how a personal check written to your own lawyer is a business record. I mean, right there is a definition of business records. And that ain't a personal check to your own lawyer is not a business record.
Okay, that's an excellent point. And frankly, most people haven't even highlighted that. So credit to you, Greg, for raising that. But even as the lawyers would say, even arguendo, for the purposes of argument, let's say it is a business record. The answer is, at best, it's a misdemeanor. The statute of limitations run years ago. What Bragg has done is he elevated this to a felony to get beyond the statute of limitations so he could still try the case. Well, and every instance of money moving, he had 34 separate felony counts. It's ridiculous.
Let me ask you this, though. On that, all right, now I can be falsifying business records in the first degree is, I looked it up, a Class E felony. Now, I looked up, there's an official statute of limitations website on the court system website, and it says a Class E felony. And it's actually, it's represented as other felonies. The statute of limitation is 5 years.
That's correct.
So what felony did he link this? Because the latest this stuff happened, I think, was in 2017. That is 7 years ago. It's from the act, right? It's from the commission of the act to when you file charges.
Yeah. Listen, the short answer, that's correct.
Short answer is the deadline. They missed the deadline, the statute of limitations.
Look, the short answer is they missed the statute of limitations. All this is nonsense. There is no felony. At best, it's a misdemeanor. I don't even believe it's a misdemeanor for the reasons you articulated. Again, it's a case that never should have been brought. And let's just talk about the larger issue. Let's assume, for example, he had a so-called illicit relationship, as the romance novels would call it, or an illicit relationship with this woman, Stormy Daniels. Why did he make the payment? He made the payment so he wouldn't be personally embarrassed with his wife and his children and his public reputation. It had nothing to do with the campaign, okay? And when he used money to have a non-disclosure agreement and it's your money, what's the big deal? There's no linkage between campaign finance law. And by the way, the Supreme Court of the United States, in a case involving Senator Edwards, where he used campaign money, by the way, to make the payments for non-disclosure, even they said it didn't reach a violation of the federal campaign finance law.
I didn't realize he used campaign money, but wait, on that, and this shows you how sick these prosecutors are. So they're trying to say that Trump was only thinking about the campaign, and they're citing this, that David Pecker on the stand said that Donald Trump never talked about his family. He only talked about his campaign, i.e. he only wanted to hurt the campaign. There's something really...
You mean protect against being...
He wanted to... Protect. That Donald Trump only talked about protecting the campaign, right, okay. Never mentioned his family. Therefore, this must be campaign finance because it wasn't about the family, it was about the campaign. Like, the idea that if a person doesn't say something to somebody or doesn't text it, that somehow it doesn't happen. I looked it up. The human brain has about 6,000 thoughts a day. I can't text 6,000 things. Like, they're inflating the value of a text message and something that wasn't said to David Pecker to mean, aha, he must not have been thinking about his family. Do you understand what I mean?
I understand. And I think their approach is a ridiculous approach. I think you're absolutely right.
Wow. Well, this is one of those cases where we are totally right and they are totally wrong. What do you think is going to happen?
You remember the O.J. Simpson trial?
Yeah.
I remember it very, very well. And as I was paying attention to it, my first instance is when I saw that the case was going to be tried in downtown Los Angeles, I said, they're going to acquit O.J. He's going to get away with this. Then I watched the trial. I said, my God, the evidence is overwhelmingly that he murdered those two people, his wife and the waiter. I had forgotten about venue being everything. And if you believe that jury selection, which comes out of a jury pool, which comes out of a particular geographic area, is so important, and I do as a lawyer and as a judge, then you have to really wonder whether it's possible that Trump can get a fair trial in Manhattan.
Hey, Judge, I got to tell you something. This may come as a shock to you. O.J. Simpson didn't do it.
Well,
I got to tell you one thing that you don't know, two things that you may not know.
Okay, this is interesting.
One of the reasons why they moved it to downtown L.A., right? The prosecution knew that the case was weak. And if they couldn't secure a conviction, it was going to be, they could blame the downtown jury. The other thing is this. Did you know this fact? Tell me if you think it's relevant that on the night of the murder, O.J. Simpson had a son named Jason. Jason was a chef at a restaurant. Jason was expecting Nicole Brown and her family to come after the recital. She did not come. Jason said in the deposition in the wrongful death lawsuit that he was deeply hurt by this and angry. Jason was less than 2 miles away from the house on North Bundy. Did you know on the night of the murder, Jason was on probation for assault with a deadly weapon? That weapon being a knife. I could go on and on and on, and by the way, a year ago, I would have been shocked to be saying this stuff, but I've taken a fresh look. The 30th anniversary is coming, June whatever. Next month is the 30th anniversary. And I don't think OJ did it. I know that sounds, and people get really angry because back then, but now that we've been through what we've been through, who tells us he's guilty? The media and the state of California. Now, back then in 1994, I trusted those entities. I don't trust them now.
I have to tell you something. I think you have a book in you here.
Well, there's actually been a book or two already written on it. And one of them by the late, great F. Lee Bailey. I know he had his problem. You ever run into F. Lee Bailey?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I thought he was a brilliant, interesting, fascinating man. Did you like him?
I did. I thought he was also very charming and he's a gentleman.
And you know who else thinks that there's credible evidence leading to OJ's innocence? Alan Dershowitz. I mean, Alan Dershowitz was on the case. And he said that EDT, that preservative, was found on the sock. And that, like, to him, proves that there was manipulation by the authorities, by Mark Furman. Hey, here's something else that's totally weird about that case. Why the hell did the three detectives go from the murder scene to OJ's house that morning? You know what they said they did it for? Next of kin notification at 5 in the morning. That doesn't work that way. There are so many weird things, and this is before social media. This is before the internet, quite frankly. I know, a lot of you aren't there yet. Maybe not even you, Judge, but it's to be continued on that one.
So you have to give me the names of the books, and I look forward to your book on this, Greg.
Okay. Judge Weinberg, thank you so much for your wisdom and your insight. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. And pleasure being here.
You'll hear him on the radio this evening, and we'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.